talk about the blood of Jesus. Because it's not a weird thing to talk about. It's just what it is, what it is, right? Like, the blood of Jesus is part of the covenant that has been signed, that is legal for us to be in right relationship with God. It's part of the promise that is made for us to live this life of victory. It's part of our righteousness. It's part of the fact that He loves us and that there's nothing we did to deserve that love, and there's nothing we can do to push and break that love. He's going to love us. And for our neighbors who don't know Jesus, He loves them. And it's a call, the blood is a call for them to come into right relationship. Jesus wants us all to be in right relationship with Him, to know Him, to know that we are loved by Him. And that there's nothing we could do to break that love. And it's a call to relationship, and it's a call to just standing and basking in that love. God, we thank You that You loved us so much and that You still love us so much. That you sent Your Son Jesus for us. That He died for us. That He shed His blood for us. That He allowed Himself to be beaten for us because He loved us. Not because we're perfect, not because we do things to earn the love, but just because He loves us. And God, we thank You that we can take time and just remember that and step into that and bask in that. God, I thank You that You love us. And there's a period there. There's not a comma. So God, thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your goodness. Father, thank You for the opportunity that we have to share Your love with others and walk in that goodness. Father, be with us the rest of this time this morning, God, as we're gathered together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thanks to our music team again. Can you hear me? Am I loud enough out there? I feel like I should just be echoing. Maybe should I just yell? Should I talk louder? Use a more enthusiastic voice? I did some yelling on Friday at the Rider game. And we did some cheering and we rang bells, right, Cohen? And hand clappers, and it was just a great time. It was the first time we've actually got to go on a trip like that as a family and go to restaurants, because our family was too large to go to restaurants for so long. We had to try to cheat the system in different ways to try to go to restaurants, but that's okay. We had a great time and just had a blast hanging out together, so it was really good. And we're in our series called Reaching Out. And we've been talking about our gifts and what does that look like. And it's a different type of series. And we talked about giving, increasing, succeeding, and prospering in our first week there. And then we've kind of moved into some of these other gifts. And we talked about how the church, according to the New Testament, the job of the church is to equip the saints for the work of your ministry. It's not for us to build up our numbers. It's not for, you don't come in and pay admission fees here so that I can do a show for you guys. It wouldn't be a very pretty show. I don't dance very well, and I can't sing very well. But we gather together so that we can be equipped, and we can equip each other. We can pour into each other's lives this encouragement, this blessing, and we can be equipped to do the work of the ministry that has been given to us by Jesus. Every one of us is a minister of the gospel. And the ministry must go forth in many areas of the world, right? We've talked about this lots. We need people who are really great at business, out there doing the work of God. We need new covenant believers who are influential in business and the areas of business out there. We need people who are new covenant believers, new covenant Christians who are engaged in the medical profession, who are engaged in politics, who are engaged in education, arts, music, movies. I loved, a number of years ago, there's an actor named Chris Pratt. And I loved, he won this award, and I can't even remember what the award was, but he was at the MTV Movie Award thing. I don't know, that's not even the right name, but you know what I mean. He was at an MTV Movie Award night. And he's a believer, and he took the opportunity to tell people, and this is the opportunities we need and why we need influential people. He took the opportunity to tell people that God loves them and that he wants to know them and have a relationship with them and that he has good things for them. That's why we need people who are influential. And he takes opportunities all the time to share things like that, and we need to do that as well. But we need people who are influential in those areas to help break down barriers where we might not have an opportunity. But the other side of that is we need to take the opportunity when it's given to us. We need to rise up and be boldened people. Emboldened, I don't know if that's a word, but we made it a word today. Terry's not here right now, so it's good. It's a word. We need good, gifted Christian leaders in all areas. And we need to do what Jesus said. We need to occupy until he comes back. We need to take up ground until he comes back to this earth. We need to advance the kingdom and not just sit back, but we need to advance the kingdom by showing his love, by showing his grace, by ministering to others, by using our gifts. I want us to be a church that advances the kingdom of God. Not, and like I said, not for people just to come in here and pay admission, but for us to be able to tell people and show them that Jesus loves them. Take up ground for the kingdom. Walk in the blessings. Walk in things that are already ours. We're talking about reaching out, and the best way that we can reach out to others that don't know Jesus is to walk in our gifts and utilize them. So I want this to be a season. I want, as we continue to walk through the summer, this to be a season of growing in our gifts. And we've been taking time throughout this whole time to talk about two or three gifts each week. We started talking about one because that's how we started, and I talked a lot about them. And because we talked about things like prophet, apostle, pastor, teacher, evangelist, and what they're called to do in leadership. As I said, the religious people call the, and that's not a negative religious people, that's just a religious people, the fivefold giftings, fivefold ministry. And then we started talking about things like leadership, administration gifts. And then we follow that up by talking about words of wisdom, words of knowledge. If this doesn't sound familiar, catch up, it's online. And there's an opportunity for you just to get caught up and or maybe even reassess where your gifting might be. And this week we're going to talk about gift of helps, mercy, and giving. So I don't want to take up a ton of time in this preamble of what we've been talking about, but I think it's important to know where we've come from and just that we have a few more gifts we're going to be talking about, and we'll be wrapping up here at the end of August in this series. So one thing I want to remind you of is it's going to be happening next week. Is I'm going to just drop off some papers in your mailboxes. If you're not here and you want to do it at home online, email me and I'll email you off. And it's just a gift test to help you find maybe where your gift might lie based on just where you how you answer these questions. It's not a factual this is where it is, but it's just a guiding paper for you. So we're going to start today by reading Matthew 5:7, and it said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And then Mark 9:41 says, "For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." And one last verse we're going to read before we just talk about these three gifts is Acts 9:32-43. And I wanted to read this not just because I get to say Dorcas again, but because it really kind of ties in. See, now I'm excited because I'm going to say Dorcas in a second. My dad used to call me Dorcas sometimes when I was acting like a goof. And I think that's why I like that name so much. Because Dorcas was much nicer than don't be a dork. Right? And I think sometimes because I called him a dork. So that's how I earned that name. It was lovingly called Dorcas. It wasn't negative. But let's read it. It says, now it came to pass as Peter went through all parts of the country that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Ananias who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Ananias, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. At Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated to Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. See, that's why he called me Dorcas. It's loving. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went to them. And when he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing their tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed and turned to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon and Tanner. So the gift of healings... The gift of helps, is the God-given insight to see where support is most crucially needed and a passion to fill that need. A person with this gift of helps looks for opportunities to accomplish tasks, they could be small tasks, large tasks, but they're just looking for tasks to help to accomplish this larger vision. And the person with the gift of helps often has the ability to see the need and somehow fix it long before others do. And it's amazing when you see people with this gift when they actually are operating in this gift, because oftentimes they're coming in and they're actually have been activated before most people even know that there's a problem. And it's quite an amazing thing to see. They have this ability to invest and partner with others, utilizing their talents and passions, which in turn enables them to increase their effectiveness. So these people will call on others that have other giftings and utilize them, empower them, move them into positions so that they can be activated and be more effective in the situations. Those with this gift of help see projects and people who are already in motion and come alongside and see these holes and try to fill the holes as necessary. The gift of helps catches what would likely fall through the cracks without these people. And you know, you think about this, and this gift of helps is something that is often not looked at very often. But the gift of helps, they have people that will plug holes. And if you've got holes in your ship, what happens to your ship when it's on the water? It what? It sinks. We need all of these gifts to be activated, and this is a gift that, without this gift, the ship sinks. So if you have this gift, lean into this. Lean into these things. Find opportunities to serve behind the scenes. Be sensitive and attentive to the needs of others. View your serving as a spiritual discipline. Something important in all gifts, but this one in particular, is to ask God about the right people to partner with. And remember that your contribution also makes you a partner in the success of the greater goal or vision of the church. You need to be helpful and willing. Be dependable. If you have the gift of helps, don't think that, it's just a small job and nobody will even notice. Be dependable. When you step up, step up. Be fully engaged. Be dependable. Be there. Have a determination to see things through. Now, these are some things here that you should stay away from if you have this gift. Don't forget that this is a spiritual gift. Okay? Don't forget that the gift of helps is a spiritual gift, and it's an important gift and a necessary gift within the body. And this is probably the biggest one. And I have friends that have this gift, and they don't understand how to do this yet. And I pray that they do in through counsel. But don't forget how to say no. Don't forget how to say no. We don't have to say yes to everything, okay? We don't have to pour in everything within us that we have till we have nothing left but skin and bones. We need to say no, and we need to be healthy as well. This is critical. If we're not healthy, if we're not able to help move the body appropriately and work within the team, if we're just taking it all on ourselves, or we just keep pressing forward and we don't notice that there's problems in our own household, if we don't notice there's problems within our own church, we don't notice there's own health problems or problems within ourselves, if we're getting angry or bitter, we need to take time to say no. And we need to step back, and we need to get the rest we need. And then something else is, don't forget to let others serve you. Don't forget to let others serve you. Don't neglect your family or your responsibilities to help your family or be a part of your family. Those are important pieces. Because some people with the gift of helps, they just think, I'm going to do it myself and I got it. Back off. And we need to allow others to serve us. And then we got the gift of mercy. And the gift of mercy is a God-given impartation of empathy and care for those who are hurting, both themselves or others. And they have pain, and the gift of mercy is the special ability to feel genuine concern, compassion for individuals, both Christians and non-Christians, who are suffering. This is, can I be honest with you guys? This is a gift I don't have. I I'm not saying I'll never have it. I don't have it. I struggle with this idea of empathy and mercy, because I'm a common sense guy, right? And so I don't look at things and feel empathy as some may. I feel common sense. Well, let's just do this. Let's just do this. Let's do this. It's like the wife coming to the husband and saying, well, this happened. Well, did you do this? No, I just want you to listen. I just want you to, you know what I mean? Does everybody, the ladies all know what I mean probably. When people are distressed in some sort of physical or mental or emotional pain, the person with this gift of mercy desires to offer relief, comfort, and support to others. They offer Christ's love in order to ease the person's pain and suffering. And those with the gift of mercy have the supernatural empathy towards others, towards those who are needing compassion, who are hurting the most. You feel a pull to them, and that's where you are drawn to. You want to help ease that burden. You almost want to be a parent to that person in their time of need. You're able to sit face to face with the broken or those who have fallen and meet with them and love right away who they are and where they are. So if you have this gift of mercy, these are some things to lean into. Use your gift to discern the pain in others and take steps to help. Don't take steps to empower them in their hurt, but take steps to help them. Be mindful how your past suffering can heighten your level of empathy. Show yourself able to come alongside the hurting and respond in an appropriate manner. You need to feel for and serve the lonely or those cast aside. You need to be empathetic and caring. Be a great listener. Not just a good listener, be a great listener. Be compassionate, loving, and remaining sensitive to the individual. See, sometimes that's where I struggle, right? I'm not great at that. I hear the story, and as soon as they start telling me, I'm like instantly going to solution. This is how you need to fix this. And rather, you need to be a loving person that just remains sensitive and just listens. You don't need to give them a solution. You need to walk and journey with them. And maybe if you have this gift, these are some things to stay away from. don't neglect in having the proper emotional support for yourself. See, those with this gift of mercy, you take on everybody's problems. You listen, you're sensitive, and without knowing it, without realizing it, I'm sure that you take it on and you are just bearing their weight. Do you know what I mean? They've told you stuff, and you've got to carry that now. You need to take time and ensure you take time for emotional support for yourself, whether that be counseling for yourself, whether it just be having somebody else that you can talk it through, because you need to talk it through, because otherwise you bear the weight of this other person as well. Don't forget, you cannot relieve everyone's suffering. Okay? It's not on you to relieve their suffering. It's on you to listen and support when you're with them, but you're not the one that's going to relieve their suffering. That can only come from Jesus. And don't allow your mercy to allow people to take advantage of you. Okay? Don't allow people to take advantage of you. You need to guard yourself. You need to guard yourself against feeling underappreciated, unappreciated. You need to guard yourself. See, I'm just knocking these out today. We got our last one. And the last one is the gift of giving. And the gift of giving is a divine sensitivity toward need, or radical generosity that is used to fill needs. Those with the gift of giving are often given a divine ability to produce wealth and are entrusted by God to steward their wealth, knowing that God will be honored with their thoughtful and intentional giving. The gift of giving is about generosity. The gift of giving is about obedience. It's not about $5 or $5,000 or $500,000. It's about obedience. Those with a gift of giving tend to give for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God here on earth. And believers with this gift find great joy in contributing in a meaningful way to meet the needs of the shared mission that we have. And when they give as though they're giving to the Lord Himself. And a person with this gift of giving is divinely generous and often has divine awareness of needs that are happening around them and are willing to step in and help fulfill those needs. Their desire is to help and give to specific causes. Now, if you have this gift, if this is your gifting, I'm just going to do a quick count. I think we have about 25, 30 people here that all have the gift of giving. So you guys can just give to my renovation fund. Just kidding. But if you have this gift, let's lean into these things. Give toward growth in the kingdom of God. Okay? Give toward growth in the kingdom of God. We want to advance the kingdom, right? Occupy till I come. Paraphrase what Jesus said. And we need to advance the kingdom of God. So let's be giving towards the growth in God's kingdom. Lean into your ability to generate income in order to be generous in giving more to God and His purposes, His reason. Be effective in managing your money is another thing you need to lean into. Be intentional in your generosity. Be disciplined and resourceful with what you have been given. Okay? That's pretty simple. Now, some things to stay away from. Don't fall into the trap of greed. Don't fall into the trap of greed. You know, I've heard far too many messages about how God doesn't want people rich, and God wants people broke, and God wants this, and God wants that. And it's all the negative side of having money and having financial wealth and prosperity. And man, if we don't have prosperity and we don't have wealth and we don't have money as a church, How the heck are we going to finance the kingdom? We need to finance the kingdom. It costs money to do ministry. It costs money to send missionaries to other places. It costs money to pour into our community. It costs money. So we need wealth within our body. Do we not? And we need prosperity within our body, or else we're just going to be able to pay our bills and call her good. And that's not what we're called to do. We're called to advance the kingdom. And if we're advancing the kingdom, we need kingdom funds. Don't sacrifice your ethics for the sake of growing your income. Don't sacrifice your ethics. I can barely say that word, ethics. Don't sacrifice your ethics for growing your income. Don't attempt to use your giving as a way to control people or leaders. It's not about that. We're about advancing the kingdom. Don't forget that giving is divinely inspired, and always seek God first. And don't seek for recognition because of your generosity. Well, Dave, you know, I'm giving $10,000 this month, but what I want is the table at the front. I want you to get rid of where it says, do this in remembrance of me, and put, you know, Jack Tunney gave $10,000 this month. And every month I give it, it can stay there, okay? Like, I'm buying sponsorship space there so my name can be seen. That's not what it's about. We're doing this for advancing the kingdom, not for our name's sake. We're not doing it for our pat on the back. It's about advancing the kingdom. Isn't it? That's all we're talking about this week. That's simple. Three simple gifts that often get overlooked. I'm going to invite Mary up. But three simple gifts that often get overlooked, that often don't even get talked about in churches. And some of us have these gifts, and we don't even know they're gifts. We just think that it's that annoyance or whatever it is. But three gifts that we have that are God-given spiritual gifts that we can be excited to have. And it's not just it's not just a burden, but it's a gift. And treat it as a gift. Don't treat it as a burden. I'm going to ask you to stand. God, as we've been journeying through these different gifts, Father, and just talking about what they look like and how we can walk in them more effectively, if that's the gift that we feel that you've given us or where we've been called to serve. God, I pray that as we journey it through and walk it through, Father, that we would come to the realization of what a blessing it is to have these gifts. That we wouldn't treat it as a curse, but we would celebrate the fact that you've trusted us and entrusted us with these gifts. And that we would confidently serve and walk these gifts out. And then, God, today as we talked about just something so simple as helps, mercy, and giving, that we would come to the understanding and realization of the fact that you have entrusted us with these things, and that we would not just hide our gifts and we wouldn't serve as you've called us to serve, God, but we would jump up and down and look for opportunities to serve within our church, within our community, with wherever we're at, Father. God, that you would open up our hearts and soften our hearts, Father, so that we can be effective with these gifts, and that we would be looking for the times and the opportunities to serve. God, that this wouldn't be about us, but it would always be about you. God, we thank you that there are people within this body that have each of these gifts. And Father, as we continue to talk it through, and as they continue to press in to this, that they would develop, and that they would seek you out to develop these gifts in new and refined ways. And God, that we would be excited about using these gifts. And God, even as today really tied into our first message on this series about about gifts, God, that it would just be a reminder and a realization that we are here to serve. We're here to love, and we're here to be loved. So God, we thank you. God, go with us this week. Bless us, lead us, guide us, direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless and have a fantastic week.